Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast with Eduardo Menjivar. To stay connected with us, visit eduardomenjivar.org.
So Judges chapter 13. Today we're going to be talking about distractions. Last week we talked about distractions and we talked about relationships, and it was a little bit more practical in the sense that I shared some stories, and even before we got into this, I said, Lord, I don't want to share. I haven't, my, you know, dating life, if you will, it hasn't been like victorious or anything. And Lord, so, and the Lord said, exactly, that's why I share all the stuff that you did wrong. And I was like, oh, Lord. So that way, you know, thank you. Everybody else could learn. They say that an intelligent person learns from their own mistakes, but a wise person learns from the mistakes of other people. The problem is that many times, although other people have shared their wisdom with us, have shared their experiences, we are so prideful that we believe that we are not going to fall into that same category, in that same problem. But what ends up happening is, although many times within our hearts and within our minds, we'll say, that's not going to happen to me. That's not going to be me. That's the first person that it happens to. Why? Because pride comes before the fall. You may not feel prideful, but just because you don't feel prideful doesn't mean that you are not prideful. So when we make statements like that and say, that's never going to happen to me, I'm not going to be that person, I'm going to have, you know, whatever, X, Y, Z, then when we say that with a prideful heart, with a proud heart, the next thing that comes is the fall. That's why you'll see many people who everything was going good for them, but then all of a sudden something happened. Why did that happen? Pride comes before the fall. So today I want to talk about distractions and still about relationships. But today, everything that I shared last week, I want to share it with you in scripture. Is that okay with everybody? If not, I don't care. I'm still going to share it. So Judges chapter 13, let's go to Judges chapter 13, and we're going to read the scripture there. And verse 1, it says, again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Philistines, who oppressed them for 40 years. How many years? 40 years. So for 40 years, they were oppressed. In those days, a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan lived in the town of Zorah. His wife was unable to become pregnant. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And they had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, even though you have been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. So be what? So be careful. Be careful. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, nor eat any forbidden food. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and his hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines. Distractions are made to take you away from your purpose. Every person that's here has a purpose. Every person that's here in this room was made for a greater purpose. You have a specific task, a specific duty for which God created you on this earth. And what distractions do is they will take you away from that one thing that God created you for. The Bible says in Psalms 139, it says, and in his book, all of our days were written before we lived a single one. What does that mean? That means that in God's plan, in God's book, there is a book with our name in, with our name on it, with your name on it. And in that book, everything is written out how God planned for our lives to be. The problem is because of our choices and our decisions and the distractions that overpower our will and what we intend on doing, we follow these distractions. That's why many people live lives that become hard. That's why people live lives that it's failure after failure after failure. And so people believe that it is God's intention for us to live in failure, but that's not God's intention. God does not love us so much that he would create us so that we could live in brokenhearted or in pain or saddened or in depression. No, God created us for victory. God created you for blessing. The Bible says that he knows the thoughts that he has for us, and its plans and thoughts of good things, of prosperous things. So then why are there people that live in failure? Why are there people that never fulfill their life's purpose? I'll tell you why. One thing, and it's called distraction. That's the number one thing. There's distractions that are in your life that are put there by the devil, that are put there by the enemy. Why? Because distractions will take you away from God's purpose for your life, especially if you have a calling to ministry. There are distractions that God will put in your life so that you will stumble time and time again, so that you will fall time and time again and eventually give up on your calling. There are distractions that don't seem like they're distractions, but they are. And one of the interesting things about distractions is that distractions come in your life, but you don't know that they're distractions. You have no idea that there are certain things in your life that are distractions. They come just as normal because the world has accepted things as normal. For example, we get a job. Is it normal for everybody to get a job? Absolutely. The Bible says the man that does not work shall not eat. We need work. We need jobs. However, how do these distractions work? The distraction works the following way. Well, it's a normal thing to get a job. I'm going to get a job. Oh, but you know what? We need to work on Wednesdays. They're asking me to work on Sundays. They're asking me to work. All of a sudden, when you take a step back, you find out that you have to work every single time that there's a church event, every single time that God wants to do something, and you've been praying and asking for something. But when God shows up to his house, you're never there because you're trying to do things on your own. This, in turn, becomes a distraction. You were so focused on the relationship with God. You were doing so great. You were walking great, and you were asking God for miracles. You were asking God for your family. But all of a sudden, because of the necessity in your family, you got a job. And it's not bad to have a job, but this job made you work on Wednesdays, on Sundays, on whenever you had church service. So now every time God shows up to answer that prayer that you had for such a long time, he doesn't find you, so you never receive it. What ended up happening is you got distracted by something else that came as something normal. And what's so interesting is that the devil will use distractions in everybody's life for one thing and one thing only. Let me ask you something. Do you think the devil cares if you come to church, yes or no? Some people say yes, some people say no. Most of you guys, I don't know, I don't want to be wrong, right? But it's okay. The devil doesn't come that you doesn't care that you come to church. The devil doesn't care that you go to youth group. The number one thing that the devil is after is for you to stop fighting. And by fighting, I mean praying, worshiping. That's the number one thing that the devil is after. Because if he can get you to stop fighting, if he can get you to stop praying, then in turn, that means you're going to stop coming to church. See, the devil's not going to throw things at you just to stop coming to church. He's going to start working from before. Because by the time you get a job, by the time something else comes up, then it's so easy to say, I'm not going to go to church today. Why? Because you stopped fighting a long time ago. So the distractions that the enemy throws at us in our lives are meant for us to stop fighting. That's his number one priority. Because a Christian that stops fighting, a Christian that gives up, is a Christian that's going to be defeated. Can you say amen? Amen. So in this scripture, we find in Judges chapter 13, it's a story of, I don't know, we can call him the Christian Hercules. I don't care. He had super strength. And the Israelites had sinned before God, and they were oppressed by the Philistines for 40 years. Now, during those days is when the angel of the Lord comes to the parents of Samson, of who later we know as Samson, and then tells his mom she needs to be careful not to drink wine or any alcoholic drink or eat any forbidden fruit. And then he says, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son. And then here comes some instructions. And his hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines. What was the purpose of Samson? To rescue, to defeat the Philistines. You see, everything that comes from God comes with a purpose. Say that with me. Everything,
everything from God
has a purpose. If you believe that you're in a relationship from God, what's the purpose? If you believe that you're in a certain school or certain college or university and that's from God, what's the purpose? Why did he put you there? If you believe that God gave you a business, what's the purpose? If you believe that God has opened doors for you to work at a certain place, to study a certain career, why? What's the purpose? God doesn't do things just because. Everything that God does has a purpose. The very fact that you're here, the very fact that you even went to youth camp and God opened doors and made a way, there's a purpose for that. What is that purpose? It's our purpose, very basic, for us to be saved. And after we're saved, then God can begin to use us. And that's the purpose that I want to talk to you about today. What is the purpose that God has given you? The place that you're at, if it is from God, the friendships that you have, if they are from God, what is the purpose of those friendships? Because everything that comes from God has a
purpose.
Everything that's from God has a
purpose.
And everything that has a purpose comes with something that we call instructions. Comes with instructions. Now, listen very closely. What did he tell Samson's mother? He said, don't drink wine or any alcoholic beverage or eat forbidden fruit. Now, for your son, for the kid, he said his hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite. Why? Because he has a purpose. And what is that purpose? He's going to rescue Israel from the Philistines. There were instructions to his mother. There were certain specific instructions given to his mother. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8? My child, listen to your father's correction. Listen when your father corrects you. Don't be negligent. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. Why? Because we also have been given instruction. Our parents have also received instruction. If we have purpose from God, then we have instruction. What is that instruction? God has called us to fulfill something in our lives. And the devil's purpose is to distract you from that. If you stop listening or obeying to the Lord's instruction for your life, then you're headed down a path of defeat. Now, here's what's very interesting. When people live in defeat, most people don't even realize it. You want to know why? Because it's so normal to them. And they don't realize that they can live better. That's why you'll tell people about Jesus. Yesterday, Christians Grupo Familiar, they went out to pass out flyers and invite people for this Saturday. And there were people that said no. But what's so interesting is that Karen was telling me that one of them said, no, I'm okay. And it stuck with me. Why no, I'm okay? You're denying life with Jesus. You're denying heaven. You're denying eternal life. What do you mean, no, I'm okay? You know what happens? Very simple. You get distracted in life and you believe, you know what? This is just organized religion. I don't need this God. I don't need to give my money. People want to tell me what to do. You got distracted at some point, and now that became a reality to you. You thought a certain way that the devil started to work in your mind. Because when you get distracted, you let go of the instructions of God. And so it's no longer the instructions of God that guide you. Now it's what? What's normal to the world. So, no, I'm okay. Because why? I don't feel like I need anything else because I'm okay. I have my family. I have work. I have health. It's okay. I don't need this God that you're talking about. Why? Because the devil will distract you to a point that if you're not careful, you'll believe that you don't need God anymore. I'm okay. Oh, I used to go to church. How many people, and you'll talk to them even at school, and you'll find out to your surprise, how many people used to come here? But what ended up happening? There was distraction. And for many of them, because I know them personally, you know what it was? It's not anything bad. It's not anything diabolical. It's not anything that's a sin. You know what it was? It was soccer. I prefer soccer. They were on fire for Jesus. I remember one time I prayed for five of the students. They all gave their life to the Lord. They were crying before the Lord. They said, you know what? Can we have a Bible? Can you send me some Christian songs? I received Jesus, and this is so amazing. How do I pray? They were on fire at one point. But what ended up happening? A distraction came. And what did this distraction do? It sent them down a different path. And now they live a life without Jesus. But they've been so distracted by everything in this world that they stop fighting. They stop believing. And now what they believe is a lie of the devil. Because when you're distracted, have you ever been talking to someone and you're so distracted thinking about other things? And somebody will ask you something, you say, yeah, and then you just keep on going. And then they come back and they say, well, you said he was okay. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. You're so distracted that you have no idea what you're saying yes to. And that's exactly what happens. Now, many of them believe that they're okay before God because at some point they gave their life to Jesus, because at some point they went to church. And that's not the way that God intends for you to live life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Everything from God comes with instruction. It comes with a purpose. Now, the blessings that God gives us. Now, Samson was a blessing for the family, was he not? Yes. He had a purpose. And his purpose was to free the people of Israel from the Philistines. So God gave him something supernatural, which was supernatural strength. We all know the story. He was going around, falling in love and getting married and remarried. And he was playing jokes and playing fun and games with God, being serious with God, then going away and disobeying God until finally we know the story. He lost his strength, right? They cut his hair. He lost his strength. We know the whole story, right? Am I right? If not, then you can go home and read it. It's a very good story. But you know what's so interesting is that the blessing that Samson received from God was supernatural strength. And that blessing, because he didn't know how to manage it, two things happen. And it's the same thing that will happen to each and every single one of us if we don't learn to manage the blessings of God. And you know what that is? Number one, you lose it. The blessings of God that you don't learn how to manage, you lose them. Very simple. But the second part to this is that the blessings of God that are not managed well, number two, is that they become a curse. They become your own downfall. See, Samson had supernatural strength from God, and that had a purpose. What was the purpose of his supernatural strength? It was to rescue Israel from the Philistines. It was to defeat the Philistines. However, Samson did not take it serious. Samson played with God. Samson was obedient, then disobedient, then obedient, then disobedient. Samson did whatever he wanted to. Why? Because pride got in the way, because he knew the gift that he had received from God. How many people know what God has given them and they know the gift they've received from God? But when you don't know how to manage well what you've received from God, not only will you lose it, but it becomes your own downfall. And that's exactly what happened to Samson. Samson felt so undefeated. He said, I can sleep with any woman I want. And then he comes across Delilah, and the Bible says that he fell in love with Delilah. He slept with Delilah, and she asked him three times, where does your strength come from? Where does it come from? Until finally he revealed the secret, and the secret was what? If you cut my hair, if you cut my hair, my strength will leave. He got so proud in what God had given him and what he had from God that it became his own downfall. And you must be careful not to be distracted by what God has given you, especially those that are musicians or singers or do things with media or serve in any capacity. You can become so proud that it becomes your downfall. And what ends up happening is that that pride in your heart affects your character. That's why there are so many people that you will run into in churches and different places. They have amazing talent. But you got to ask yourself, how come they are not serving within the church? How come they're not being used mightily by God? You want to know why? Because talent will take you so far, but it's only character that will keep you there. It's the same thing that happened with Samson. Samson had the talent. He had the gift. But his character needed a lot of work. And as you're young, the character flaws that you don't work on now will affect you tomorrow. And you read it with Samson. Since he was young, he was like that. He never fixed it. I'll put it to you this way. The appetites that you don't control as a young person now, those things will become your distraction tomorrow and lead you astray. And you'll never fulfill the purpose of God in your life. And that's not God's intention for any of us. And you'll see there are many people that never receive or that don't receive the promise from God for their lives. You want me to tell you why? Because they're not ready to receive it. Their character isn't there. There are people that at some point, and I've heard testimonies even within our church, wow, we were praying for this family member. We were praying for this person and God did something. So they start coming on Sundays. They start coming on Wednesdays. But then all of a sudden you get distracted and the devil makes you stop fighting. So you give up fighting because you feel like you're okay. I'm fine before God. You get the same pride that Samson had. I don't have to pray as much anymore. It's okay. I prayed last week. I don't have to worship as much anymore. I worshiped my heart out at camp. It's okay. That should hold me up for another month. It doesn't work that way. It's not like an iPhone battery. It doesn't work that way. The Bible tells us, and when we read in Acts, we should be filled with the Spirit every single day. That's why you'll see people that were on fire. And all of a sudden, fishing trips came up. I'm out. I'm missing church. Vacation came up. I'm out. I'm missing church. Even as and while they're on vacation, they don't pray. They don't read scripture. They forget all about God, the God that gave you the ability and the blessing to be able to take that trip. That's the last person. That's the first person you throw out. Why is that? The blessings that we mismanage, we will lose. And those blessings that we mismanage will lead us astray and become our own downfall. People have given up and people are not on fire anymore. I'm going to tell you why. Because they stopped fighting. At some point, they stopped believing. And the distraction isn't necessarily something you do, but something that comes against you. Somebody offended you and you let that get to your heart. Somebody said something and you let that get to your heart. You can talk to so many people and you can find out in a matter of seconds if they're in the fire or not in the fire. Just by the way they talk. You want me to tell you why? Because the Bible says that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen to what they say. Listen to what they talk about. And you'll find out, are they really in the fire or are they faking it? You can find out very quickly. Talk to some people about fishing and they can tell you all the stats and everything. Talk to them about the Holy Spirit. They have no idea what to say because the Holy Spirit's not in their hearts. Fish. And fish will die and stay here. They don't go to heaven. You talk to other people about sports. They can tell you all the stats and they can tell you everything. Let me tell you about Priest Holmes in 2003 and 2004. Let me tell you about Patrick Mahomes and this, that. Did you know he was the first one? But then you talk about scripture. They say, oh, man, I can't memorize scripture. But you can memorize all these numbers. You can memorize all these stats. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because you stopped fighting. Nobody else is going to fight for you. And that's why there are people that will not receive the miracle, they won't receive the blessing, and they have a calling from God, and they're running around saying, God's going to use me, I know God's going to use me, and you know, as long as I stay prayed up. No, it's not about staying prayed up, it's about fighting. Because you can be around people that fight, that worship, and you leave that place and you feel like you're one of them. Tell you a story very quickly. There was a farmer. He went out to the field. He found a small little cub. He was a small little lion. He brought the little lion home and he started taking care of the lion. Well, the farmer had a bunch of sheep. And so as the lion grew up, the lion began to relate with the sheep. And the lion never learned how to growl, but he started to meh the same way, just as sheep. So as the lion grew, the lion had no idea that he was a lion. He this whole time thought he was a sheep. Because he had never seen himself. And one day, they're out drinking water, when all of a sudden, they hear a loud roar. And it's a lion with a sheep, with one of their family members, if you will. It was one of those in his mouth.
Con una cabra, pues. Con una, no, no es cabra, es una oveja.
There you go. You say sheep too, right? Plural and singular? Sheep. Sharp. Sheep. Yeah, sheep. Sounds weird. So he had a sheep in his mouth and there was blood dripping down and everybody got scared. They all ran back behind the barn and so did this little lion. And this lion wasn't so little anymore. Some years had passed by, but he ran back there also. Why? He started acting like the sheep that were around him because that's how he grew up. And there are many people that they will get around other people and they feel like they're part of them. They feel like they're the same. But just because you're around Spirit-filled people doesn't mean that you're also Spirit-filled. If you don't fight at home, if you don't worship at home, if you don't fast, if you're not doing these basic principles and practices, then you are not like everybody else. You may feel like it, doesn't mean you are. You ever been to the gym and after you get a good pump, you feel like you're stacked and then you go before the mirror and you see yourself and you say, man, I'm still fat. And who you are doesn't align with how you feel. It's the same thing. Just because you feel like, oh man, I'm on fire. Are you? So the key to whether or not we fight is whether or not you let the distractions get to you. In the life of Samson, the distractions got to him. If you don't learn to recognize the distractions, distractions in your life will end up killing you spiritually. Think about, and you can go back on the Instagram or Facebook and look at how many people at some point they used to come to church. They were on fire. They used to lift up their hands. But what ended up happening? Distractions. I can tell you there were people that started businesses and they were so in love with money and they wanted money and they wanted what they saw on social media. They wanted that kind of life for their family. So they went after it with all their heart. They stopped fighting. They stopped believing. And now they don't even know if they're saved. And there were other people who what they wanted is they wanted money. They just wanted money and they wanted what they saw on social media. Why? Everything you see on social, I'm going to tell you this. Everything you see on social media, it's a lie. It's fake. Don't desire the things that you see on social media. You see a lot of these guys. I don't know if you know. I'm sure you should know this because you're smarter than I am. But there is a lot of influence that what they do is they'll go rent an Airbnb and they'll make it like it's theirs. And they post pictures and video and you say, oh, that's what I want to do. Then now you got a whole bunch of little kids. What do you want to do when you grow up? I want to be a YouTuber. I want to be a TikToker because that's what they see. But little do they know that what they're seeing is all a lie. And God knows that. And God is never going to lead you into a lie. But the devil will. So you have to ask yourself, what I have in my life, is it truly from God? And if it is, what's the purpose? And is it pushing me to seek God more? Because if it's not encouraging you to keep seeking God, then you got to ask yourself, is it really from God? The Bible says this in Judges chapter 16, verse 4 through 6. It says, sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sorek. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, entice Samson to tell you what makes him so strong and how he can be overpowered and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah went to Samson. Please tell me what makes you so strong and what it would take you to tie you up securely. Let me ask you a question. If somebody came to you and said, hey, I know you got some strength. Tell me, what would it take to take that strength away? Would you tell that person?
No.
See, distractions do the same exact thing. Distractions don't come directly in front of you. Say, hey, I'm here to distract you. No. The Bible tells it like that. But you're telling me Samson was that dumb? And said, oh, yeah, let me tell you. No. She asked three times. And that's exactly what distractions do. Now, if we go to verse 17, it says, finally, Samson shared his secret. What did he share with her?
Secret
with her. My hair has never been cut, he confessed. For I was dedicated to who?
God.
I was dedicated to God. Say, dedicated to God.
Dedicated to God.
As a Nazirite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else. I want to tell you something. This is something very important. I'm going to see if we can post these online. Don't compromise the source of your power. The problem with Samson was not only that he was distracted, but secondly, his issue was that the distraction took him so far that he compromised the source of his power. Where is the source of the power for Christians in our prayer life? And you know, the number one thing that the enemy will do, he will try to distract you so you don't pray. But he doesn't just make you busy. He makes you angry. He tries to do things and you get angry and now, oh, I just feel unworthy. I just don't feel like I can pray now. You go and you fall into sin and, well, I just feel like God can't hear me. He just won't listen to me. I've been there. We've all been there. We've all had distractions that have robbed us of our time of prayer. Don't compromise the source of your power in your life. I remember sometime last year, I was talking to Sergio. I invited him out to eat. He said, oh, no, I can't. I said, dude, what are you going to do? He said, nothing, I'm going to go home. He didn't want to tell me. I said, man, you're not going to do anything. It's only 8:30. I said, let's go out to eat, then you can go home. It's okay, you'll be home early. He said, it's not about that. I said, what is it about? He said, I promise God that every night at 9:30 p.m., I will be in the same place at the same time to pray and to talk with him. So he's going to wait for me at 9:30. You know what that's called? Not compromising the source of his power. Now, if the source of our power is our time in prayer, I want to ask you something. How many times have you compromised it? What things have you let distract you from praying? There are people that received great blessings at youth camp. There are people that received words from God at youth camp. You were excited, you were worshiping your heart out, but compare that same yourself, compare yourself from 2 weeks ago to today's worship. It's not the same. Why is it not the same? Because you got distracted. Pastor Henry even said, there's going to be distractions waiting for you at home. Distractions don't just come in the form of work, school, but they come in the form of attitudes as well. Because you've decided to not let God work on your character and attitude, guess what? The enemy knows how to get you distracted. Now you're mad. You take off from home and I just want to go for a drive and just sit in the quiet with the windows rolled down and you burn out and you leave and then you come back and you think you feel better. But now it's so late and you feel so guilty because of what you told your parents and your siblings and your family or your friends that you won't take time to pray. You know what that's called? Distraction. And it started with what? An emotion that went unchecked because you decided to not let God work with you in that. And tomorrow, when you get married, the attitudes and the lack of character that you don't allow God to work and mold in you today will not only affect you tomorrow, but will affect your spouse and your children. And now guess what? What used to be a small distraction now becomes something greater. That not only can you not pray as a father or mother, but now you have children that see that there's an inconsistency. And I want to tell you something. There are parents that I've met that because of their hypocrisy at home and in church, their children don't serve God. Their children have decided, if I go to hell, I go to hell. And I tell you that because I've talked to them and they've told me that. Because they see hypocrisy. So you have a purpose. Don't let the devil distract you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now I know you guys aren't thinking about family and children. You guys are young. But we have young adults in here, and at some point, you're going to get married.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Steph, come on now. Don't compromise the source of your power. In other words, don't let anything come in between you and your secret place. By secret place, I mean the place that you pray. Well, you know, I just pray when I'm in the car, or, you know, if I'm washing dishes, that's where I pray. No, have a place where you pray. I have a mat that I ordered to exercise on, but I don't exercise. So I throw it in front of my bed, and that's where I throw myself, and that's where I pray. Have a place, a specific place, that you will not compromise. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Judges 16, verse 19. It's just a couple of verses. We're almost done here. The Bible says, after Delilah cut his hair, he lost his strength. And then it says, Delilah put Samson to sleep with his head in her lap. And then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. So the man had braids. And in this way, she began to bring him down. Now notice what it says, in this way, she began to bring him down. Did he lose strength when she asked him the first time where the source of his power was? No. But she started working him little by little. See, the devil's not going to come at you face to face. The devil's going to come at you very subtle. What you used to say no to, now it's okay. It's no problem. It's okay. I had a friend when I grew up. His whole thing was, and we were both the same, we'll never date anybody who's not a Christian. We won't because of what Scripture says and what we learn. But then he became friends with this girl in middle school, and they stayed friends, and they were really good friends, and she would never come to church. I was like, dude, why don't you bring her to church? Why don't you bring her to the events? Meh, no quiere. Okay. But then years passed by, and that became his distraction. He was always spending time with her, And then little by little, he started being okay with things that he used to not be okay with. Long story short, they ended up dating. And then after high school, they ended up getting married. Still not a Christian. But he said, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus. He would go to church by himself. To make a long story short, they ended up getting a divorce. He ended up leaving the church. Why? It all started with one simple thing. And this was a talented person who was a musician who could sing, but with one distraction. But if there was somebody who came to him who wasn't a Christian and said, hey, I want to date you, would it be easy to say no? Yes. But he started warming up to the idea, and that's exactly what the devil does. See, distractions don't come to knock at your heart. They come little by little. And that's exactly what happened to Samson. Then the Bible says, then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, he thought, this is what he thought. I will do as before and shake myself free. Why? Because this had already happened to him. And all he had to do was get up and fight them off. But what he didn't realize is what the Bible says. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. Now, we've been taught that God is merciful. And yes, he is. He is loving. Yes, he is. But God is also not a toy that you can play with and think that everything's going to be okay. This year at youth camp, I'm taking you serious, Lord. The rest of the year, yes, I'm here. And then your fire burns out and you stop fighting, you stop praying, you stop worshiping. And then you think to yourself, it's okay, next youth camp will come. What guarantees you that you're going to be around for next youth camp? What guarantees you that anybody's going to be here for next youth camp? You don't know that. Don't wait for events to get your fire burning. If your fire has already started burning, whether it's big or small, start maintaining that and grow that fire. Worship when you don't feel like it. Pray even though you don't feel like it. And you're going to see that when the battle comes and when distractions come, you're going to have victory. You see, when you read the book of Daniel, you find out that Daniel wasn't thrown into the pit with the lions and he started fighting the lions. Why? He didn't fight the lions because his battle wasn't with the lions. He fought his battle before. He was praying. He was fasting. And you see that all through Scripture, when Moses is faced with a sea in front of him and the Egyptians behind him, does he start fighting then? No, he starts crying out to God. But then God says, I've already given you the answer. Stretch out your staff. And the sea parted in two. And God did everything else. He didn't start fighting in that moment. He fought from way before. How did he fight? With intimacy with God. And the Bible tells us that we are going to have tribulations and battles. However, how is victory granted? Victory is granted when you maintain a life of prayer, when you maintain a life of worship, when you maintain a life of holiness. And only then will you see God's victory. Can you say amen? Now, I want to finish with this. So the Philistines, the Bible says, captured him and gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. Now, this was a mighty man who used to kill these Philistines. This was a mighty man who was used by God. And what's so interesting is that throughout his whole life, there were moments where God used him. Why? Because Samson had a purpose. And there were moments that God used him supernaturally. There were moments that he had victory, and God will use Samson on occasion. And you know what's so interesting is that many times we believe that we're okay because God will use us on occasion. We led worship and it was powerful. I must be good with God. I preached and people got saved. I must be okay with God. I prayed for someone and they felt the Holy Spirit. I must be good with God. And it was the same thing with Samson. As long as God kept using him on occasion, he thought it was okay. But what ended up happening is that this distraction got to him. And distractions will lead you to lose sight of what you are called to do. Distractions will lead you to forget what you're supposed to do in life. And for Samson, it was something physical. He literally lost sight. The Bible says that when they cut his hair, they took his eyes out. And now the mighty man of God who used to defeat the Philistines is now tied down by bronze chains and walking in circles for the rest of his life. Why? Because of one distraction. And you know what's so interesting? When you go back and you read about Delilah, the Bible doesn't say that they got married. The Bible doesn't say that they were friends. The Bible doesn't say that they were dating. The Bible just says that Samson fell in love with Delilah. And you know what that was? You know what he didn't do? Is what we learned last week. He did not define the relationship. And that was his downfall. And you must be very careful. You must define your relationships. You're my friend, so I treat you as such. You're my, I don't know, you're my dating person. You're the person I date. And you're going to treat that person as, you have to set limits. And you have to be clear on who you are to that person and who that person is to you. Otherwise, you will fall into distraction. And this is exactly what happened to Samson. He lost sight, literally lost sight of what God had called him to do. The devil's goal is to get you to stop fighting. Let me ask you a question. Did the Philistines kill Samson? No. What did they want? They just wanted him to stop fighting because he was killing Philistines. We just want him to stop fighting. That's it. And when they got that, they put him on display so that everybody could see and everybody could laugh. There's the mighty man, Samson. He can't fight anymore because he's blind. When you get distracted and you lose sight, you become blind and you have no idea where you're going. And the devil will have you running in circles the rest of your life and never going anywhere in life. And you'll stop fighting. When you stop fighting, you fall into distraction. When you fall into distraction, you lose sight of where you're going. Why do you think there are so many people that don't know what they're going to do with their lives? I don't know, man. Should I just go to college? I don't know. Should I just get a job? I don't know. Maybe I just want to take a year off. Okay, and then what are you going to do? I don't know. Just, deliver pizzas or something. You know, I don't know. I just really feel called, you know, by God to ministry. And so what are you going to do? I don't know. Just live with my parents. And we'll see what happens. No. You got to have purpose. You have to have clear purpose. If it wasn't for my clear purpose in my life, I probably would have been dead in Iraq somewhere. I wanted to go to the Marines so bad since I was a child. And then God called me. And when God called me, my parents, being pastors, wanted me to study a career. And I said, no. They said, yeah, we want you to study. Okay, then you pick and you choose and you pay because you want me to do that. I'm not doing that. I know what God called me to do. And that's why I have the life that I have. Why? Because I decided to obey God. And God's life for you is not an ordinary one. So don't fall into the trap of, I'm called to just, you know, live like everybody else. No, you're a son and daughter of God. Amen. You have to believe that and take that to heart. Stand to your feet. The Bible says in Judges 16, verse 22, it says, but before long, his hair began to grow back. The beautiful thing about God is that if you've been distracted with anything in life, he'll give you a second chance. There's a story about a young lady who was called to missions when she was 12 years old. And when she was called to missions, she said, God, thank you. I'm going to answer the call. But just let me graduate high school first, and then I'll go. God said, okay. She graduated high school. And then God came knocking at the door again and said, I want you to go to the mission field. And she said, God, I'll go, but I'm about to go to college. Just let me finish college first. And God said, okay, I'll let you finish college first. 4 years later, God comes again knocking, says, I've called you to the mission field. I have a specific task for you. And she said, God, I just graduated college. Let me just work in my career for a couple of years and then I'll go. God said, okay, I'll let you do that. A couple of years went by. God came knocking again. Said, I've called you to the mission field. I want you to answer this call. And she said, God, I've met someone. Just let me get married first. And then, after I get married, I'll go. God came knocking again. You're married now. I'm giving you everything you wanted. Come to the mission field. She said, God, let me just have a family. Let me just have some kids, and it'll be okay. And like that, time after time and season after season, she had kids. Her kids grew up. God, let me just see my kids graduate. Let me just see them graduate college. Her kids got married. Her kids had kids. She became a grandmother. Finally, at the end of her life, God came knocking again and said, I've called you all your life. She said, God, I would love to go. And I want to go. But now I don't have the strength to go. And God said, well, that's a shame. Because there was 1,300 souls that had your name on it because I chose you to preach to them. And now they're dying and going to hell because you decided to postpone what I had given you. I want to tell you something. Distractions will come with a price. And what is that price? So I want to encourage you, if you're here today, don't let anything distract you. Don't let anyone distract you. Don't let it be friendships, relationships. Don't let anyone distract you to put out the flame of the Holy Spirit in your life. You've come so far to give up. I'll tell you guys a story I was faced. Maybe one day I'll share the details, but I was faced with one of the biggest challenges in my life. And I remember being by myself in that room and thinking, God, I'm not going to betray you like this. You've done so much for me, and I've come such a long way, and you've forgiven me. I'm not going to pay you this way. So I remember I got up, and then I started praying, and I thanked God for what he had done, and the Lord gave me victory. And I tell you that why? Because you have to decide, will you let anything distract you from what God wants you to do? So I want to encourage you. Don't let anyone distract you from fighting with prayer, fighting through word. Today, it really motivated me because I saw a lot of young people at the front. And then I turned and then I saw Alex, and Alex is newer. How long have you been coming? Like, what, 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks, something like that? Yeah, like a week and a half. Well, camp. Yeah, like I got my times all mixed up. But nobody told him, hey, come to the front. You know what he did? In the middle of one of the songs, he just went to the front and started worshiping. You know what that's called? Fighting. God sees that. You're telling me that next time you're going through something difficult, God's going to look from heaven and say, oh, look, there's that guy that goes up there and worships me without anybody telling him to. And he's not going to defend him. He'll defend him. Why? Because God wants his worship. God wants to spend time with you. And when you give God what he deserves and what he wants, God will defend you at every battle. God will defend you in every season of life. Why do you think he provided for Esme and Pablo? Because they decided to believe. Pablo said, I never lost faith. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I kind of lost faith because he was like, I haven't gotten my fast food. And then we went out to eat one day and I said, hey, man, your fast food, you hear anything? He's like, no, not yet. And the inside, I was like, bro. And then he eating his fries. No, not yet. And he's just like, nothing. I was like, he ain't worried. I'm not worried. And I was like, oh, Lord. But he never lost faith. You know what that's called? Believing. That's called fighting. That's called standing on the promise that God has given you. And God will remember when you stand for his name, when you stand on his promises, and he'll fight for you. Don't wait until you get into the battle to fight. Fight from before. Hand. Can you say amen? Amen? Lift up your hands and I want to pray for you. And while you pray, I want you to pray and say, Lord, don't let this fire burn out in me. Lord, help me to keep fighting through prayer, through worship, through the reading of your word, Lord. Help me to stand firm.
Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast with Eduardo Menjivar. To stay connected with us, visit eduardomenjivar.org.